Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NFL playoffs. The conference championships are set, and we have in the NFC, Arizona versus Carolina, and in the AFC, we have New England versus Denver. Just sticking with the AFC for a second, we have the 17th all-time matchup against with Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. Tom Brady leads the series 11-5, which I don't know necessarily why they keep, you know, touting this one-on-one matchup. I guess because they're two of the, you know, great quarterbacks of this era, but
they need to stop it.
It's a lopsided affair.
Yeah, and I'm sure, hey, Tom is just like, well, whatever.
Right. But Tom actually is 2-5 against Denver all time. Being the only two wins he had against Denver was against the quarterbacks were, let's see, Danny Cannell and Tim Tebow. Coming into this past weekend when Denver was going up against, I mean, didn't Denver, New England was going up against Kansas City, I would have told you that anybody had a chance to beat New England. They were struggling. They were injured. But the way they look this weekend, I think they're right on course. Edelman is back. I think they're right on course to make another Super Bowl run.
I think whoever wins Arizona Carolina game gonna win the Super Bowl.
Well, let's move to that one. Then got Carolina, who had a 31-0 lead against Seattle, and once again has, as they've been doing here in the last couple of weeks, they almost blew the lead, and almost, you know, if Seattle would have had a little bit more time, possibly could have come back and won.
And if ifs was fifths, we'd all be drunk.
But they'll take on Arizona team coming off an overtime win against Green Bay, in which Larry Fitzgerald has seemingly found the fountain of youth here this year. I mean, he, you know, wide receivers in their 30s don't usually put up the numbers he's putting up. Yeah, but
well, look, people say that kind of stuff all the time. It just depends on the team you with and what kind of season you had. I mean, it's people that play into their 30s. That's pretty much your prime anyway. You haven't had, you know, any major injuries that I know of.
Well, he seemed to keep himself in really good shape.
Right. So, I mean, stop. And it ain't like he out there, like, destroying. Yeah, he had that big run. Now, I don't know why he was wide open in that last play. He had that big run. He makes plays all the time like he's been making, but it ain't like he's just out there running buck wild or something. I don't know what they
do. Not to backtrack, but just while we're on this game, what do, when they go out there for, what do you call it, a coin toss or a coin flip? What is your terminology?
It's like coin toss.
Thank you. It don't say coin flip, but you, did you see what happened?
It's got a flip, apparently.
Apparently Green Bay believes it does because they threw a fit.
Well, apparently the official did, too, because he was like, yeah, it didn't flip, so let me do it again.
Yeah, I'm going to need them to get some better.
But I think it should flip, because if you have it on head and you toss it up, yeah, you can make it where it land on whatever. So then that would be like, oh, people cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But if it toss and then go and should flip a couple times in the air. That give you a chance for anything to happen.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Green Bay should have just been happy that they that Hail Mary pass.
Once again, a Hail Mary pass almost got them a win. But, you know.
Yeah. I know that, you know, they ain't trying to see it that way. But y'all really, that mess shouldn't have happened. So it all worked out.
Right. Well, sticking with the NFL, a little bit more dear to our hearts, near and dear.
We got that dude.
Chip Kelly will lead our San Francisco 49ers into the next season.
Well, the prayer is that maybe he can revitalize Kaepernick's career because it was going into the trash.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Kaepernick, you know, his jerseys kind of was on sale, and then they went off sale when we
got Chip. Yeah, because I'm sure they thought that they were fixing to get rid of him.
Yeah, now they went off sale as soon as he got hired. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does. I mean, like you said, I think, you know, he has a chance to revitalize Kaepernick. I don't think they should give him all the player personnel power that he had in Philadelphia.
He won't have that. He's just going to be the coach. From something that I heard or read, he didn't necessarily want all that. Well, maybe he did want it, but he got to know now that it's hard enough being the coach, let alone trying to get players and doing all that. And
I'm sure he figured that out real quick.
If he haven't figured that out, then it's going to be another catastrophic season. Well, I mean, but no, he don't have
a
GM duty, so he should be fine.
Well, that's good. Well, that'd be interesting to see where that goes. But that's going to bring us to our first break. On the other side, we'll get into a little basketball talk and the world news. But that's all for the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NBA. Last night, we had the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Golden State Warriors. They've been touting this matchup, you know, just getting ready for it. The Cleveland Cavaliers are finally going to be healthy. They come off a road trip where they went 5-1, only losing to San Antonio. You know, looking pretty strong. And then it all fell down.
They got destroyed.
Yes.
They got beat like they stole the Lord's Supper.
I mean, they gave up. They had 114 at the end of the third quarter. Golden State did.
Okay. I think we talked about this before. If they lose, it's the coach's fault, really. They got all the pieces. They got a good point guard. They got one of the best players in the world. Because it's up for discussion if it's LeBron or Curry now. But anywho, then you got Kevin Love, which is supposed to be one of the best power forwards in the league. And then you got your little centers and power forwards that's rebounders defending. Now, if they had any good sense, I was thinking about this morning because my brother sent me this whole text about how they just was basically letting Curry come off the screen, do whatever. If they had any good sense, they would run the same style of offense that the Warriors run. You can use LeBron just like Green. He can shoot it, he can pass, he can drive. He can do all the stuff and probably better than Green. He can guard all the positions. You can put Kevin Love, can be like Iguodala. Now, you got Kyrie Irving is a solid point guard. He can come off the screen and make it happen. And you got a broke man's Thompson, because J.R. Smith ain't as solid of a shooter, but you got a broke man's Thompson. You can run the same thing.
Yeah, you could.
And and just make them guard their own offense and just see what happens.
They got to figure out something because they've now lost 5 in a row, I believe, to
Yes, they don't lose to the people that's in the West. They don't lose. Well, they haven't beat the top seeds in the West, which means, I mean, they could easily come out of the East. Ain't nobody over there doing nothing but.
Well, I mean, even on that road trip, they went 5-1, but their only loss was to the other best team in the West, San Antonio Spurs. So they got to figure out something.
They lost to San Antonio. They don't lost to Cleveland at home and away. I mean, the Warriors at home and away. Mm-hmm. They even lost to the Chicago Bulls. So they got some work to do. But again, you know, it's just like that triangle. People tried to run it. That was a little more complicated. I would still say they could try to run that whatever that spread offense pretty much is what the Warriors run. You got all the pieces.
Right.
Just run a spread. Do the same thing they do.
Let's see. Moving on, going over to the West Coast, to your Lakers, more specifically to Kobe. Kobe Bryant recently trademarked the saying, "Friends hang sometimes, banners hang forever." He was asked about this on a press conference or something, and a reporter asked him. He basically elaborated. He wasn't trying to say he didn't value friendship. You know, he was just, the way he explained it was typical how I figured Kobe would, you know, explain doing something like that. Kobe, can he just leave? Just not even go the rest of the season?
Why are we talking about him?
I'm already tired.
Why every time I look on ESPN, it's got, oh, Kobe's not playing in the Olympic now. Oh, Kobe did this. Kobe is playing. Oh, Kobe, should he be in the All-Star game? Oh, Kobe and the Lakers are awful. Why are they even in this discussion?
I mean, literally, they have gone ahead and told you they are tanking this season just to give him a farewell tour rather than to get the younger players some playing time and get them, you know, better for the next year.
Either way, they will be tanking the season because the younger players ain't going to be out there killing.
No, but I mean, at least they will be getting some exposure. Next year, you're going to have the same problem because they still won't be ready.
Well, they're getting enough playing time. The next year is going to be the same problem if we don't get the number one pick because they ain't going to have no superstar.
Yes, true.
That's what's going to be the problem. If they don't get the number one pick and get Simmons, then they won't have a superstar and they're just going to be bad overall again. Because I don't see anybody wanting to come there. What is it, Kevin Durant or somebody the next free agent?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
OKC. I don't know who else is on the free agent list. It was talk of them trying to get the dude from Toronto or something, but he ain't no superstar. But whatever his name, I can't even think of. But anywho, the Lakers. I don't know why they even in. Why do we have to talk about them?
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about them. I don't want to talk about Kobe. Kobe needs to sit down somewhere because you talking about his other Achilles hurt. He's going to go out there and make one move, and then he's going to be done for the season again. Talking about Achilles. Just sit down somewhere. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Sticking with basketball talk, you and I have brought this discussion up many times. We really kind of started hitting it at the 2009 NBA All-Star break, where the slam dunk contest, where Dwight Howard was, you know, putting on a Superman cape and doing the dunks where he took a sticker and stuck a sticker up on top of the backboard. And is it time to have a real discussion about raising the rim?
What you mean? I can't believe you asked me this question.
I'm not talking about between me and you. I'm saying
it's got to be. For the last 15 years, I have been saying the rim needs to be raised. And it was just only further ingrained in my mind when I went and watched the Gators and the Rebels play Saturday and how easy they were dunking. And not only does the rim need to be raised, they actually need a bigger court because the court is just really too small for those big old men. And I was just like, it ain't enough space to do nothing out there. When they all were on one side of the court, they were spaced out. And then they was, you know, it wasn't an offense. It wasn't like they had, you know, two posts Rich, you couldn't even do that. You used to play two posts on the box.
Right.
You know, because you used to run them plays where you had that one post go screen across for the other one and then whatever action you had on the. You can't do that now.
Uh-uh.
It ain't no room. That in the goal, people dunking. These dunk layups, as I call them, because they're doing a layup motion and they dunking and they barely tiptoeing off the ground. The rim needs to be raised at least 10'5". It could actually go to 11 feet. Because I don't play it on the 8-foot goal. You know when the kids have the kids game and they lower it for them.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun shooting down and shooting on that lower rim. And that's pretty much what they doing. At 6'6", 6'7", 6'8". Whatever. Maybe one day somebody else will see this besides.
Yeah, it's going to be an ongoing debate between us, I'm sure.
I mean, shout out to Larry. He always laughs when I say it. Because I say it all the time. And I just stopped saying it recently because it's just like beating a dead horse. Or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Who came up with beating a dead horse? That's a talk show. Another show.
we'll get that another time. We'll do some research on it.
Yeah, that's just like beating a dead horse.
That
don't even make this. But go ahead.
Well, that's gonna bring us to our next break. On the other side, we'll get into a little world news and do a little review of Lip Sync Battle. This has been the Mac and T Show. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. In world news, let's see, I think looking back at my text messages, I think it was last Tuesday, my co-host sent me a text message, and her exact words, "We need to do a special show on Monday. It's crazy out here in these streets. See the poster." And then the poster comes in, and the poster reads, it's got the big giant beam from Chicago in the background. "Come see a world-class city, ... that can't read. 47% of Chicago third graders read below their grade level. Fewer than 20 of those kids will make it to college." Okay, what in the world?
No, let's make this even worse. 47% of, and I think this was like 2011, 12. It don't really matter because it's 2000 and this shouldn't even be the case. 47% of Detroit's adults are, they didn't say just illiterate. They said functionally illiterate.
Oh my.
Which means day-to-day activities, they really right. Can't read enough to like read a rent, the rent, what you call it? Shoot, you sign your rent, rentals agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Little stuff like that. I was like, huh? And then some percentage of those people have a high school diploma.
Wow.
I want to say it was like half of those, like 20-some percent of them had a high school diploma. Now, I can't understand this. I can't understand it. How is it? I can't understand why it happens. But I don't understand why this ain't up for conversation in these debates. Like, why are we talking about what you're going to do about immigrants and what y'all going to do about, you know, the nuclear weapons? And we need to talk about what you're going to do about education. Because America is number 21 and 25 out of like 30 developed countries in reading and all this other stuff. Why are we so low? We want to talk about we a superpower and all this. I can't understand.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just, you know, you say we're this superpower and we're supposed to be this great nation, but, you know, you crawl across the water and they're beating us in just about everything when it comes to education.
Why you can't read, though? Like, you know, what happened to reading, writing, and arithmetic? What happened to that? Because apparently we can't add either, because I think that was the other thing that funny. I'm sorry.
No, it's sad. It really is.
So you're talking about, okay. Let's visit this very quick, because I don't want to get on a long tangent, because this is my soapbox, because I think this is ridiculous.
Yes.
I'm a proponent for education. Now, first of all, because the Bible said our people perish because of lack of knowledge. Now, if you can't read, it's hard, going to be hard-pressed to get you some knowledge. I can guarantee you that. So, when you got situations where you have schools, you got teachers, which we've talked about this, I feel like, in another podcast, because your sibling is a teacher.
Yes.
They're using their money, and they ain't bankrolling. Like, they using their little money that they making trying to get supplies for their store.
Right.
We got teachers now going on websites begging for money, and people that have money can go on and say, well, I'm going to buy this class, you know, these books or whatever they need. Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's getting so bad out there now. It's schools that you have to pay to participate in extracurricular activities. The only thing I had to do to play basketball in high school was sell some little bars of world famous chocolate so that I could help buy tennis shoes.
I about to say for your shoes. Yep.
That's all you had to do. You ain't have to pay money. You just had to get out there and hustle a little bit and sell them a little big chocolate bar. World famous chocolate. Everybody know about world famous chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all. Now, in one school, she said they had to pay $600 to $660, I think, to play football or something. $200 to be in a chess club. $300 or something dollars to do this. And I was like, are you serious for extracurricular activities? Do you know how many people are not going to be able to afford that?
Yeah, I don't see how you can have extracurricular activities if you're going to be charging, because I don't think there'd be many people that will.
Some kind of way, and these were like, these were high end, these were like poor neighborhoods, like, because she was naming neighborhoods somewhere in California.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know in Florida, where my sibling and her partner are, her children, because they told me this, and I was like, are you serious? She was like, for them to even try out, I want to say they had to pay $50 or $100 to try out for the sport. Mm. And if they didn't make the team, they didn't get the money back. Are you, No, it ain't going down like that. Because basically, you just taking these kids' money. Because most often, if you weren't on the team last year, especially for like basketball, probably for football too, if you wasn't on the team last year, you're probably not going to make it this year.
Uh-uh.
Unless you had some kind of growth spurt or did something over something.
Yeah, and, you know, a Michael Jordan type story.
So now all we want to do is teach kids how to take these tests, these standardized tests, and get them all stressed out about reading. And then I just can't. 47% functional illiterate. In Mississippi, I think they said 15%, and as high as 30% in like the Delta areas and some areas. It's an issue all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
If people can't read, which is unacceptable. Because if you make it to seventh grade, you should be able to read functionally.
Yeah, I mean, I know people that I grew up with that made it all the way and graduated high school and never could learn how to read. They just got passed along.
Now, how does that happen? How are you successfully passing any kind of test? Not even a standardized test, just your math question.
Right.
Like your history class, your biology, science, whatever class. You can't even pass home economics. You got to be able to read. It would seem to me you should be able to read a recipe or something.
Yeah, I mean.
Then we got to throw some math in there if they ask you to add a half a cup and a quarter cup and a half a teaspoon. And you don't know what a half is, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, it's definitely an epidemic that needs to be addressed more. I mean,
we don't talk about it. I don't watch debates necessarily. I do use it like it's a couple of things that they show highlights. But still, education is now. I ain't heard them say nothing about no education this year during all of this debate talk. It's been about Planned Parenthood and women's health, which that needs to be discussed, but we sure need some education discussion going on.
Yeah, and you know, education is usually somewhat a part of the debates, but it really, like you said, it hadn't been this year. It hasn't been at all. It's been about the immigrant, you know, immigration. It's been about Planned Parenthood. It's been about everything but education.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And they're just going to continue to take money from education. If they're not taking education, they're taking arts programs. They are cutting from the music program. They're cutting from, come on, people.
Yeah.
Don't you know Whitney's song, I Believe the Children Are Our Future?
Oh, no.
Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Randy Watson. Excuse me.
Sexual chocolate. Well, yeah, this is bad. And this book that I'm reading is called Swagger. It's by Lisa Bloom. I gotta find the. She wrote. It's a book about boys and how girls are surpassing boys in all of the skills. Like used to be boys, you know, they're good in math. No, that's falling off. They don't read. Which leads to some poor outcomes when we talk about quality of life.
Mm. We'll have to get into that when you finish that book.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's where I got that from, about the illiterate Detroit people. And then about this, and what was, I can't even think of the name of the site. Big teachers out here, if any of them listen, they probably know, trying to get books and for their kids. Like, books?
Mm.
Books. But then again, even here in Oxford, I asked this one student, he was looking for homework for answers or something. I was like, where's the book? Because, you know, the book always got the answer when they give you those the questions.
Right.
Oh, we couldn't take that book home. We only have so many, I'm going to just make up a subject, science book, so we have to leave them in the classroom. How you gonna do homework if you can't take the book home and read and go back and reread and find the answer?
Right. How you gonna study at home?
And you know what they don't do, and I don't have any children, but I hardly see, like, when I see, like, I have coworkers that have them, and sometimes they're up here doing their little homework. You remember when we was in school? Obviously, I'm older than you, but still, you had to spell the word. Had to look it up in a dictionary. And you used to be like, well, I can't spell it. How am I look up a dictionary? But you figured it out. Then you had to write out the definition.
Yeah.
Then you had to write it in a sentence.
Yeah, we had to do all that.
I don't know if they still doing that, but that's just part of it. Because if you keep saying the word and reading the word, then you can comprehend what the word means if you look it up in a dictionary and say, oh, now let me display my comprehension knowledge by making a sentence with the word.
Yeah, it was the repetition of using the word so many times, you eventually was going to get it down.
Can't understand. Because the last time I was around some elementary schoolers, they just had these bunch of words they were trying to memorize.
Right.
Oh, help us all.
Well, moving on to entertainment. Lip sync battle. This past week, we had Kevin Hart against Olivia Munn.
Oh, have mercy.
They're co-starring in the Ride Along 2 movie that's coming out this week. So, let's see. Round one, Olivia Munn kicked it off with Dilemma by Nelly and Kelly Rowland, in which she played both roles.
Oh, Lord.
She played, you know, obviously, she's a woman, so she played herself as when she did the Kelly Rowland part. And then when Nelly's part came on, she flipped the spin and put on a hat and a fake Band-Aid and did her Nelly impersonation. I thought she did a really good job. Obviously she's not necessarily a comedian. She's an actress, but she's not a comedian. So she doesn't really have the comedic timing that Kevin Hart does, but she's pretty funny, honestly, on her own. Kevin Hart's first round, he did OMG, Oh My God by Usher. He started out explaining that he was wearing an outfit that Usher wore on one of his latest tours, which I'm sure was a bunch of foolishness, but, you know, Kevin Hart's Kevin Hart. Second round, Kevin Hart started off with Slam by Onyx. He had a big group of people out there, and he teased like he was going to jump into the crowd and surf the crowd, but never really came to fruition on that end. Olivia Munn, second round performance was Bad Blood by Taylor Swift. She came out with a couple of, you know, a group of people, and they all had their little rifles, and, you know, I've never seen Taylor Swift video, but I'm sure it was something along that line. This episode was okay for what it was. It's almost like it's a letdown when you have Beyonce come on last week with Channing Tatum's performance. I mean, and there was really no guest appearances this week. No special appearances. Like I said, Kevin Hart is usually kind of always real out there. He was kind of dialed back on this episode. Yeah, he wasn't his usual self. I don't know. We'll have to see where it goes from here, but this episode was kind of like, okay, haha, funny.
Well, I think the next one might be funny because you got CeeLo and Anthony Anderson.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that ought to be pretty good.
That should be kind of fun. Depending on what they pick. But they
kind of
find it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I think that's going to be our show for this one. And, next week, going to be our season finale episode. We'll be back, I'm sure, for a Super Bowl special episode. We'll be back for next season, starting in March, when the NCAA tournament kicks up. But, next week, y'all see the finale episode. And like always, I am your co-host, Brian McKay, and I am with...
it is great to be a Florida Gator Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T-Show Podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T-Show. This is the Mac and T-Show. We talk movies and TV shows. Sports and world news. Coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.